to A Galaxy Not So Far Away, a Mysterious Galaxy podcast. I'm your host, Becca.
And I'm Gary.
And today we have with us Kylie.
Hi.
Nick.
Hello.
And Victoria.
Hello.
And today we are discussing Nook versus Book. And I do not mean the little raccoon that is in charge of Animal Crossing. I do, in fact, mean just alternatives to physical books. We're going to be talking about e-readers, e-books, audiobooks, and, you know, just sort of our opinions on them. So,
yeah.
Gary, do you want to get us started?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I, I don't have a lot of, like, I know that there's a conversation here to be had about accessibility and things like that, and I would like to get there. But I personally don't have, like, a lot of like, personal knowledge or whatever in that regard as far as, like, this particular topic goes. For me, I am someone who I prefer, I'm sure, actually, I would like to know, like, do people here prefer, like, physical books or, like, ebooks, or what's your preference?
Well, I think it, you're right, you go, Nick, you go.
For me, definitely the physical. Just something about actually touching, feeling, I'm going to say it, smelling a book that is so, it's nicer than looking at a digital screen. Though there's definitely benefits to digital, which we'll get into, but physical for me.
Yeah.
I like, well, I mean, I feel like I just really like both. There is something really nice about holding a book and flipping through it. Especially there's some books that are just like works of art, like in of themselves. But also audiobooks. I love audiobooks so much because they fill so many hours of traffic for me. It's great.
Yeah.
And then ebooks are convenient. You can, like, I have an e-reader app on my phone. So if I'm ever stuck somewhere and I don't have a book with me in my bag, then I have my phone. So it's super easy.
Victoria?
I totally prefer physical books over anything. I'm the type where I always have books and I will forget my phone places. So I don't have, like, the, I don't know. If I had it on my phone, it'd be less likely to read it than an actual book.
See, that's so interesting because, like, I feel for me, it's very the opposite. I get a lot of anxiety when I have to carry around multiple items for some reason. So if I can, like, I usually keep a physical copy of most of the books that I enjoy, but if I can have, like, a phone version of it with me so I can just, like, kind of, you know, pull it out wherever I am, I feel like it's a lot more accessible that way. And I feel like my phone is always in my hand, so it's easier to be like, oh, well, nothing exciting is happening on Twitter. I might as well do some actual reading.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say that I prefer physical books, and I think that that might still be true. But most of the reading I do now is audiobook, actually. I tend to get through a lot more because when I'm doing, you know, a lot of what I do for the store is inventory stuff. And when I'm doing inventory stuff, I really can just, like, have my headphones in and do, like, listen to an audiobook while I'm doing, you know, work in our computer system or whatever.
I feel like a lot of people here, like, do that, like, listening to, like, audiobooks while they work on stuff at the store.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have the time or space to do that, you know, like, I don't think that that's something that any of us have a problem with, you know, especially with, you know, the store not necessarily being open right now, meaning that we do have a lot of time to, like, we're not focusing on customers, right? I don't have my headphones in when I'm in the front of the store, but
yeah, of course.
But I get most of my reading done that way. I really enjoy, you know, I like to listen to, I talk up the Star Wars audiobooks all the time to people because they're, like, full productions with, like, music cues and sound effects and stuff, and I really dig that. But you know, I'll take physical, like, advanced copies of books home, or I'll buy stuff all the time that comes into the store that I'm like, oh, I really want this on my shelf. But most of the time I'm going to go with the audio version for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I think one of my pet one of my pet peeves about the audiobook versus physical book discussion is, like, sometimes people, I'll start talking about audiobooks with people and I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm reading this book right now. And then I'll talk about the audiobook and then they'll be like, oh, but you're not really reading it. And I'm like, no.
I just think that is such ableist crap, like, when people say that. Like,
yeah, because first of all, like, I'm still getting all of the same words that I would be getting if I was looking at them with my eyes, right? That's still, I'm still consuming the book just with my ears, you know? But also, you have the whole discussion of, like, well, what about people, like, that are blind or people that are visually impaired and that audiobooks are an option for them, and would you say they're not reading those books, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That is so the one thing I love about electronic readers and audiobooks is they really do make things way more accessible to anyone who has any sort of disability, no matter what it is. I have had, because I do work in the schools, I have had students who are dyslexic, and black text on white paper screws them up so much. But the fact that they can get an e-reader and switch the colors so then it's black paper with a different colored font, and then they can suddenly read it like anyone else could, and it's amazing.
I didn't think that this was going to come up so early, but basically all of the research I did for this episode is about, like, in favor of and sort of like defending audio and ebooks, because I do feel like they get a bad rep. But yeah, like, absolutely. At the end of the day, like, the reason that they exist is not for, you know, people that have a really easy time reading, like, physical books. It's for people with print impairments. And by definition, print impairment is just a phrase that defines any disability that makes it hard to read standard print. And I mean, that ranges from visual impairments, physical disabilities, cognitive disabilities, and just, like, you know, so you have, like, it could be ADD, it could be dyslexia, it could be, like, muscular dystrophy, it could be blindness, anything. Like, anything. Like, and I think that there's this, like, really big misconception that preferring ebooks or audiobooks is, like, lazy. And I just think that it's because able-bodied people instantly think of everything in a lens that is for them. Like, everything is created for them, and, like, don't consider that maybe this thing wasn't made with you in mind.
For sure, because there's been a ton of stuff out there that has said, like, you know, oh, you learn better if it's actual print. And while that might be true for me personally, but that doesn't mean that it's true for everyone else in the world. Just because it works that way for me doesn't mean anything for the person next to me.
Everybody learns differently or consumes differently, you know, like, engages with media differently out of necessity or out of personal preference. Like, I think that's, I don't know, maybe it's funny being, we're a group of booksellers and we're here being like, no, like, we're all on the side of, like, the e-reader and the audiobook because of these accessibility reasons. It's not, you know, I might prefer to have a physical copy of a book that I can have on my shelf, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be something that someone else can't engage with.
Well, and that's the thing, too, right, that I think is so, like, interesting about the subject is I feel like people assume that booksellers and bookstores in particular have this, like, resentment against, like, ebooks and audiobooks, wherein the reality is that, like, we sell that type of material as well as physical books. Like, they're all legs of the same industry. They're not, like, it's not like we're fighting each other.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can go, I was going to plug this all at the end, but you can go to the Myst Galaxy website right now and get ebooks through Kobo and get audiobooks through Libro FM and support the store that way. I've gotten a ton of audiobooks through Libro, and I really enjoy that we're able to, like, support the store that way.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick, it's very interesting that for me to hear that it's also been thought of a digital ebooks have been thought as lazy. I've never seen them as lazy. I've only seen them as convenient because you can, pull them up anywhere on your cell phone, on your tablet, on your computer, and just start reading. Yeah, I like having books, but I totally understand that when you can have your digital book anywhere, that just makes it a lot, like, more reachable. especially if you have certain programs, which I don't want to mention because I don't like that particular company, where you're reading an ebook, you put it down and go, oh, I actually want to continue reading it on my tablet. And it'll go, oh, you left off on this page on your other device. Do you want to turn to it?
Oh, I love that.
Awesome.
The Kobo app does that, if you want to talk about a company that we do like.
That's totally fine.
Yeah, because totally I'll like...
That's awesome.
Because you can read them on the web browser. Sometimes I'll do this. I'll read a book on the Kobo web browser. And then I also have the app on an iPad and I have the app on my phone. So I can jump between all three of them and it keeps my place. It's very nice.
That's really nice.
But when it comes to audiobooks, I just wanted to also discuss whoever says that audiobooks aren't the same as reading and they're lazy. Yeah, they might be in different vehicles of technology, because yes, a book is a form of technology. It is hard written, imprinted. You can open it and actually engage with it. It is technology. Audiobooks, they've actually done studies and they've shown that when you read a book, listen to a book, either one, you're actually activating the same areas of the brain. So whether you're reading or listening, they are doing the same thing to your brain.
That's amazing.
Obviously, there are different forms of how you're taking that input. One from audio, one from actual visual.
But it's still like stimulating the same thing, which is fascinating.
Correct. The same areas of the brain. And I think that's just really fantastic to finally show, like, no, it's the same thing. Obviously, it's going to be different because, like Victoria was saying, just people, you know, are different with how they consume things or do things. So one could be a visual learner. One could be a hands-on learner. One can just do by this. Same thing with how we ingest things. Some people prefer to listen. Some people prefer to read. Some people prefer to watch. It's everyone's different, so they will take things differently.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like is probably just, you know, being a small child and watching Reading Rainbow religiously on PBS. Like, I just love...
Do any of you guys listen to the Reading Rainbow podcast?
Yeah. No. And then did you see LeVar Burton's doing live streams every week?
I did.
Oh, it's so good. But there's something so nice about having somebody read to you. You know?
Yes, absolutely. And his voice is so soothing and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And
oh, I love that Neil Gaiman gave his papal blessing to read any of his things.
Yep.
Did you see that?
I did see that. It's incredible.
I just love that.
I don't trust myself to read any of Neil Gaiman's stuff. Because I've heard him read it and it's a blessed thing.
Yes.
Speaking of celebrities that do like live readings and stuff, I don't know if any of you have heard of or remember, but Shelley Duvall, you know, the wife from The Shining, she did a TV series called Bedtime Stories.
My God.
Where she read to children and her voice is absolutely gorgeous and the stories were so fun and I mean really
there were
like,
some wacky intros.
Yes. But audiobooks are just like the adult version of like your parents telling you a bedtime story. Like you still remember and love the story. It's just someone is saying it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's be like audiobook narrators. Like if you have a good audiobook narrator, it is like it's so good.
Absolutely.
Like it just brings the story alive in a really fun way too. Also, it's really good if you are not sure how to pronounce things, like if you read tons of epic fantasy like I do, and everyone has these wacky names and you're just like, I have no idea how to say that.
You're just like, your name's blah blah blah.
The opposite problem happens though, right? When you're reading the book on the page and you see that name, it's like, oh, like I don't know how to say that. But then when you listen to the audiobook, the problem is, oh, I don't know how you spell that.
Oh my God, that's also that's a big problem. You know this from
I do know this.
Yes. From me being like, Gary, I don't know how to spell this name, but
some books where you almost need, even if you're going to listen to it, you almost need that book in front of you, because I know from talking to both you, Kylie, and Gary, that you have read books where they have like appendixes and maps and everything else. And for me, if I was listening to that and then they reference something, I'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm lost.
Oh, that sounds so overwhelming.
Well, yeah, So I know, like, specifically, I think we're all speaking about Chorus of Dragons, Yes, by Jen Lyons. So when are we not speaking about Chorus of Dragons, though?
I haven't even read it yet, and I'm always talking about it because of you two.
You need to.
My pile.
Here's what I'm saying. Because of this episode.
Stuck in my home.
The audiobooks for those two, the first one, Ruin of Kings, and the second one, Name of All Things, are just absolutely amazing, incredible, like, works of art as far as audiobooks go. The narrators are just so emotive, and they bring the story to life in such a, like, incredible way. And it's fun because they're, each book has three different POVs. And so each POV has a separate narrator. And so it jumps back and forth. So that one, that's really fun. I feel like that was my first introduction to those books, was listening to the audiobooks rather than reading them. And I feel like it kind of really helped me differentiate the voices. I mean, obviously, when you're reading on the page, you know, oh, this is one POV and this is the next POV because they're different chapters. But it kind of even, it was an even greater, like, delineation between them. Because you had the actual, like, different voices in your ear, which was really fun.
I read it the first time, and, you know, like Victoria was saying, it's got, you know, footnotes and appendices and maps and family trees. And when I was reading it for the first time, I was having so much fun flipping back to the back of the book to, like, consume all of that stuff as I was having questions over the course of the story. Trying to piece together, like, who this kid's family really is, or, like, how those people are related. And I had a blast doing that. But then, like, listening to it, you get, like Kylie was saying, a whole extra layer of, like, just the tone differences between one person's perspective and another are made, like, a lot more clear, I think. Being able to listen to someone read it versus just, like, how it's written on the page. Like, yeah, they're separate chapters, and they open with, like, Kieran's story or Talon's story, but having the different voice in your ears narrating that particular section gives it a flavor, I think, that the text on the page alone doesn't
Speaking
quite
of capture, nice you know? Voices and flavor, I don't know if you guys know this, but Tom Hiddleston did a narration of Dracula.
Ooh, really? I didn't know that. Oh my goodness.
It is... Well, fantastic.
I know what I'm listening to next.
Yeah. It's well, also, gosh, it's not just Tom. It's also, oh my God, I don't know how to say this guy's name. David Suchet?
Sure. Oh, Suchet. David sure. Suchet?
David Suchet, yes.
Yeah, he's a Shakespearean actor. He's in the Royal Shakespeare Company and all that good stuff.
Oh my gosh, nice. And wow. I said his name wrong. That is embarrassing. But instant yeah, they do the narration, right?
We're going to have to take your Shakespeare card, sorry.
Now I'm second-guessing myself, I'm an international though. I'm like, did I say his name right? I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Just Google it and then see if someone will give you, like, a speech thing like Google will do sometimes.
Shakespeare's ghost is about to take my thespian pin away from me. Like,
Okay, speaking of actors and Shakespeare, one of the things saving me right now in quarantine is Patrick Stewart, or Sir Patrick Stewart, reading a sonnet a day. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
On Twitter, it's just the best thing. Speaking of people reading things to you.
Someone needs to put that on an audiobook, and I will buy it. Just like I pretty much buy every Neil Gaiman audiobook, because I love his voice. He can describe toothpaste to me, and I will buy it, because it's amazing.
So I think we've done a lot of talking about when audio readers are good, but I'm gonna be me and be the devil's advocate, because there are also times where an audiobook can be killed by a bad narrator.
Definitely. And
that's very true.
I do not want to name certain names because that'd be impolite. But I have read, I have listened to books that I was like, no, it killed it for me. That the particular narrator didn't make the story interesting, or the pace was just so off that I couldn't be engaged. And so I was like, get that out of my ear.
Yeah, I think I feel like I've been super lucky with the audiobooks I've listened to for, like, because on the whole, I have really, really enjoyed them. Also, I'm going to be completely honest, there are certain narrators I like so much that I just specifically look up books that they have narrated and then pick them. Like,
which
without knowing what
which
the book
totally
is, just because I'm like, oh, I like the way their voice sounds. But But the only time that's really happened noticeably to me was it was a nonfiction book I was listening to, and it was a really super interesting historical subject, but the narrator was so dry that there was like periods of time where I was like, oh, I'm falling asleep. I feel like I'm sitting in a lecture hall. It was a bummer.
No. Yeah. But,
see, I can't say that I have much experience in this. I have attention deficit disorder, and so like it makes reading in general pretty difficult for me to like retain. But if I try to listen to audiobooks, like I have to basically just like close my eyes and listen because like I can't focus. Mm. It also makes listening to podcasts extremely difficult, but but yeah, so I tend to lean more towards like ebooks and physical books just because audio as a like format doesn't really retain for my brain.
I can get that.
Which again, it's not for you, and luckily there are other alternatives.
So like, to be perfectly honest, when I listen to like Tom Hiddleston or Adam Driver like narrating a book, it's purely because I like the way their voice sounds.
That's fair.
You like the way their voice sounds. Valid. Yeah. That exactly. They keep your interest. They keep your interest. We get
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I'm like, just say pretty words, and I will absolutely buy it.
That's exactly how I am with Neil Gaiman.
Yes, agreed. Of course, there's more than that.
I tend to find that it's easier for me to find time to listen to an audiobook than it is to find time to sit down with a book that I want to read. You know, when I was a kid growing up in school, it was super easy. I would always have a book in my backpack, and I would read when I would finish my homework earlier. I would read in the hall between classes, or like just any time I could steal seconds away. But I don't have the ability to really do that now in the same way. And then, like, I don't know. There are times where, like, a certain book will grab me, and I'll spend a day just, like, devouring it. But that doesn't happen nearly as often as it did when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, same. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, man, you know
who I wish was here right now to talk about audiobooks? Matt, since he said that he, like, listens to, like, the yes. same Harry Potter audiobooks, like,
he's
over and over.
He's listened to the Harry Potter books, like, over 100 times, because he just re-listens. I don't know if I could engage with any, like... There are books that I've read a bunch. I personally have already said on this podcast that I have read the first Harry Potter book like 30 or 40 times, but I don't have that relationship with any audiobook where I've gone back. I mean, there are ones I've listened to multiple times, but not more than like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Not 100.
Yeah, that's
and I
crazy
wonder if
numbers.
It's just like a pleasure in like that particular book. Like, we should have asked him what other audiobooks he's listened to besides Harry Potter and Ready Player One.
Missed opportunities.
Yep.
I know. We'll have to,
those
we'll
are
have
the ones I've listened to. And I have to say for me, I saw Ready Player One is one of the movies I saw before I ever read the book. Mm. And I was like, okay, I like this. And then I read the book and I'm like, I hate him. Like, I hate Wade Watts or whatever his name is. I'm like, I hate him. He's such just this like annoying little twerp. And then I listened to the audiobook and I'm like, okay, well, Will Wheaton made him sound cool, so I'm okay with him again.
Okay.
So he actually saved the book for me because the voice I heard in my head just drove me up a wall.
That's super.
I was gonna pose that as a question too. Like, are there books that you guys prefer as audiobooks that like as a visual book, you're just like, it's not doing it for me.
Just made me think of, so I've been reading the Witcher books. Well, I've basically finished them at this point, but I've been reading them via audiobook. I've been listening to all of them and they're really, really good. I would highly recommend them. The narrator does a great job. But I also have a friend, Kat, who is reading them at the same time and we've been discussing them. But, it's funny because she'll like message me about, oh, I read this passage today and this is what I was like, she was like giving me thoughts on it. And I was like, oh, I listened to that and I got a completely different impression about what was happening.
Interesting.
And it'll just be solely because of the way that the narrator decided to play a certain role. Like, one of the characters, like, the way he decided to bring, like, the subtext, I'm betraying my theater undergraduate career right now, but the subtext the subtext that he brought into, like, the dialogue and the feelings and emotions that he decided to put behind the dialogue gave me a completely different impression of the scene than my friend who read it with and was absorbing it that way.
That's fascinating.
I think that's something that happens a lot too with, like, books versus, like, film adaptations. When you have an actor involved, like, they can severely change, either for the better or the worse, like, how you interpret the information.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's one thing to read it and have the, like, your impression of the character and their motivations, if it's not explicitly stated in the text, in your mind. But when you are listening to somebody else, if you're listening or watching in case of a film, somebody else bring their ideas of what the motivations are to that character, then you're going to get something a little different than if you were on your own trying to figure it out. So it's fun. I think for me, audiobooks are almost, like, collaborative a little bit in the way that, yes, like, theater is collaborative. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're sitting in a theater and you're watching a play, you have this kind of give and take between, like, the actors and the audience. Like, the story isn't static, basically. You are absorbing what the actor's giving you, and so that not only are you getting the story itself, but you're also getting someone's interpretation of the story, and then on top of that, you have your interpretation of what's happening. So yeah. I feel like audiobooks kind of work in a similar way in that you are participating in the story almost, because someone has brought it alive for you in a certain way.
Well, I think that also then kind of brings up another topic. Audiobooks, since you are listening to someone else's voice, yes, they are bringing it alive to you, but you're not getting that almost personalization like you would if you were reading it, visually and then putting your own voice to it.
It's true, yeah.
Because then you're not... I personally feel like it's not personalized because you are listening to someone else's interpretation of the words and how they would pronounce it versus what you would perceive just through reading it. And so
I think this is a really good basis for a conversation about, like, adaptation as a whole too.
Mm.
Because mm-hmm. like, I would say that an audiobook is as much an adaptation of a written word as a TV show or a movie.
Definitely.
Like, you are getting some, even if it's just one narrator, someone's interpretation of what the word on the page is.
I mean, I would say that it's extremely similar, but I don't know if I would say it's exactly the same, just because I feel like with film and television adaptations, they cut out a lot of stuff, like, that doesn't work on screen, or, like, they just don't have time for it if it's, like, a film. But in audiobooks, you usually at least are getting everything that the author intended for you to get.
There's an interesting...
it's abridged. Oh, man.
Yeah. I happen to be someone who reads a lot of, like, big epic fantasy, and a lot of those are audiobooks that are, like, 25, 35 hours,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of those times, those are abridged versions of the books.
See, I was gonna say, but I don't, like, listen to a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah. So it's hard, you know? There's still an element of that.
Can I tell you one of my most disorienting audiobook experiences?
Please.
So I was listening to the audiobook for Outbound Flight by Timothy Zahn, which is a Star Wars novel, and it is one of my favorite Star Wars novels. But this was my first introduction to this book, and I listened to it, and I was so confused. The story didn't make any sense at all. I was just like, what is going on? And then I went back and I realized that it was an abridged book. Like, the audiobook was abridged.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, I didn't know this. And so then I went back and I read the actual book. And I was like, oh, so they cut out really important parts of the plot for no reason.
Oh, no.
Anyway, that book is great. The audiobook was disappointing in that I did not know it was abridged, and so I missed really important plot points.
I didn't know.
Anyway, so yeah, always check to see if your audiobook is abridged or not. I was burned, so definitely. Now I always check.
Has any one of you read or listened to John Scalzi's Lock-In or Head-On books?
No,
I have not.
So what's interesting about those books is he actually does it in a way that he avoids any sort of gender reveal or pronouns for the main character, Chris. So every time Chris is referred to, it's either Chris, my child, if it's Chris's parents, or FBI agent Chris. So if he does
And
the reason is, I would imagine it, John Scalzi wants us to fit better into the main character. And then therefore, if you're a man, woman, non-binary, whatever, you can fit better because there's no like actual gender reveal. So I really want to know if there is an audiobook for either one of those books, how did they do it? Obviously they would have had to pick a voice that sounds either masculine or feminine, regardless if they're male or female. I think someone leans more towards a masculine or feminine sounding voice. If we're just using the preconceived gender roles like that, where,
Well, I was going to say, like, for me as, like, a non-binary person, like, the way that somebody's voice sounds to me doesn't ever, like, indicate to me, like, their gender. So, even if it was, like, a very masculine voice, you know, like, that could mean multiple different identities outside of just, like, a cis man. So, I think that, I mean, for me personally, if I was going to listen to the audiobook of that, I don't think that it would...
Do you want to know who narrates them?
Who?
Did you just look it up?
There are two different... Both books have two two different editions.
Really?
So you can get Lock-In and Head-On narrated by Will Wheaton, or you can get it narrated by Amber Benson.
Wait a minute. The same books have two different... Whoa. That's
two
really good.
Two versions...
That's really
one.
Good.
So I guess there's your answer, Nick.
That is really good. That's actually...
That's clever.
Though it was probably more money, obviously, to produce because you have to pay two different people to actually read them and cut. Kudos to them for actually doing that. It's like, choose your own adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the money aspect, I had written down, there's a really interesting and good... educational journal publication by George Kircher and Jim Frucherman, and they discuss the conflicts of like accessing commercial books as e-in audiobooks, and like they delve kind of into the subject of like paying the actors and like how much that costs and like how book companies sometimes don't agree to have their books made like disability friendly right off the bat because it's so expensive to produce. And I've always thought that was really like interesting point of discussion because, you know, most people with print issues, excuse the phrasing, I mean print impairments, they have to wait months to get their hands on books when they like come out. So like, you know, like a new Star Wars book comes out. Well, if you're a big fan, but you have a print impairment, you have to wait like 4 to 6 months to actually get to enjoy the piece of media. And so that's definitely frustrating. I can't imagine how much that sucks.
Yeah.
So that brings up another topic of Nook versus book. Accessibility, if meaning just even shopping for an ebook or an audiobook versus a physical book. Obviously, you can walk in a store and look the shelves, grab books, turn them over, versus having to actually go through a digital marketplace and looking through what's new, what's in the genre. Definitely different methods or different experiences, would you say? From shopping between them.
Yeah, I think another thing about accessibility, at least with ebooks, not so much with audiobooks because they tend to be a little more expensive, depending on where you're getting them from and how you're getting them. But like for ebooks especially, like I know sometimes there's a book I really want to read. I really want to buy the book because I maybe want to support the author, or I want to have it, but I don't necessarily want to spend like $28 on a hardcover or something like that. But the audio, I mean, the ebook, you are usually much less expensive. So there's that also accessibility thing as well to people that maybe don't have as much money to spend on books, but they want to have them, and rather than checking them out from a library, they want to like read it a few times or have it for a longer period of time. The ebooks are often much cheaper.
Absolutely. And just to the point of like accessibility, to look at books and like get recommendations and stuff, two organizations that I made note of are the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, NLS, and Learning Ally, also formerly known as Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic. So NLS distributes recording materials of all book types, journal publications of all types, and they work really hard to make sure that anybody with print impairments can get their hands on materials that they want as quickly as possible. And Learning Ally, Victoria, I don't know if you know anything about them, but they exist specifically to supply educational materials, starting at kindergarten and working upwards into college materials.
I haven't heard of them. Most of the kids that come to where I work usually have those systems in place already by then, because a lot of the times they have IEPs by middle school. But I do really love e-readers for them, because if you can't hold up a book, you can at least have the tablet there. Our librarian is amazing, and she really is on the ball with finding those different online resources that these kids can use.
That's awesome.
And also to Kylie's point about like wanting to support, you know, authors that you enjoy, but like not always necessarily having the funds to do so, or even the accessibility to a library necessarily, because, you know, not everyone has that accessibility. I know, Nick, you had talked about the TJ and Tamal books on a previous episode.
Yes.
And how you like to reread them. So that's actually one of those, and I had mentioned that I read it as a webtoon or as like a online comic. And that's another reason that I really love ebooks, is because to me, it's an extension of something that already existed. Like, I've read so many different web series that I absolutely adored, and then got to watch them from that success, like, become physical books that you could buy in a store. Yeah. And so, like, I think it's definitely, like, a two-way street. Like, I think that, you know, reading online and reading, you know, on your tablet can be just as beneficial for the book community as reading a physical copy.
Definitely.
It's interesting seeing things that have started in other, like, I know in particular there are a lot of podcasts that now have books that have come out, whether they be adaptations or other stories that are part of that thing, right? Like, the Welcome to Night Vale duo have 3 Night Vale books out now, plus their script books.
And then you have, like, the Adventure Zone.
Yeah, the Adventure Zone is doing a graphic novel.
Oh, yeah.
Critical Role has a graphic novel.
Yeah.
the Limetown podcast has a book, I think. The Lore has 3 books out. They did an Amazon series. Like,
speaking of the Adventure Zone, I know that Justin McElroy and his wife Sydney, they have the podcast that they do about medical
Sawbones.
Stuff. Sawbones, that has a book now too.
Yeah, it does.
It was really good.
Gosh, there's a lot of them actually, and it's just really impressive seeing like how those how the media adapts from one form to another.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, like I said before, like, they're all just different legs of the industry, in my opinion. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool seeing how they all function together. I know personally, we were talking earlier about, like, if there are books that you prefer as audiobooks over physical ones. And I think that even though, like, I'm happy to have the Welcome to Night Vale books on my shelf, I still went and got the audio versions of them, because having those voice actors perform those characters still is such a more enriching experience, in my opinion, than just having the, like, work on the page.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, I love the Adventure Zone graphic novels, and like Carrie Peach is so talented, and
oh,
like,
my goodness, her the art's whole
team
amazing.
Yeah, the art's amazing, the whole team is obviously lovely. You know, their publishing team is also super sweet, and they're always so nice to us when we run the events during Comic-Con.
Yeah,
but like it's so different from the podcast, because like they don't have, you know, the license rights to like make a Dungeons and Dragons book. Sure. So they have to like work around that, and they do it in a really fun and clever way. But I mean, nothing will ever beat listening to like Griffin's super emotional investment in like the narration over like such yeah. gorgeous music.
Absolutely. God, I loved Balance so much.
I could talk about it all day. We could have a whole episode about
we probably shouldn't.
About us fanning over a different podcast.
Yeah, 100%.
It's probably not good for like listeners.
No.
No.
There might be folks out there that like that show and they're like, yeah, I agree with you. Talk about them.
Yeah.
Goodness. I don't have a whole lot else for this one. Does anyone else have any other points they want to bring up in particular?
No, not really.
I don't think so. I have a list of audiobooks I would recommend.
Oh my goodness, please.
I was going to say, do you want to recommend some of them?
Yeah, so I have some that I really have liked particularly that I would say are pretty excellently narrated and also good books. So best of both worlds. But I would say, so one of my favorite audiobook narrators is Sunila Nankani. She's really great. And she's done a few books. She's one of those that I kind of like look and see what she's narrated and then maybe pick it just because it's her voice. Because she's just a really excellent voice actor. But she has done the audiobooks for the Devabad trilogy by S.A. Chakraborty, which is epic fantasy. It's really great. The first two are out. The third one's coming out this summer. She also, Sunila Nankani also did this romance. It's a Pride and Prejudice retelling that I really like called Pride and Prejudice and Other Flavors. It's by Sonali Dev. And she also did this audiobook, the audiobook for Empire of Sand by Tasha Suri, which is a fantasy. Then also, she was also one of the narrators on the first Course of Dragons books. So again, plugging those, they're great. And then the Circe audiobook, so Circe by Madeline Miller, the narrator for that one is Perdita Weeks, and that one is just so beautiful, because first of all, you have like just such a beautiful book that I just could gush on and on about forever, but the narrator, she just did such a good job with it. It was just so beautiful to listen to. Then the Winter Night trilogy by Catherine Arden, the narrator for those is Kathleen Gatti, and she does a really great job. And then the Witcher novels, which I mentioned earlier, the narrator for those is Peter Kenny. I think
they're so good.
They're so, I think he does his, I think out of all of the audiobooks I've listened to, I am most impressed by his ability to do just so many, because those books have like 5 bajillion characters in them. And yes. Sometimes the way that it's written, you have nothing except dialogue. Like you don't have any descriptors or anything. It just goes back and forth between people's mm-hmm. talking. So the way that all of the different voices that he does and the way he differentiates between all of the different characters is incredible. And also he brings a lot of, he's very emotive. He brings a lot of emotions into what's happening, which makes it really entertaining to listen to. And then
it's
also
especially important for a character like,
yeah,
like Geralt, because he is so like Geralt. Monosyllabic a lot of the time.
I love him.
And so him much. Being able to like bring emotion to that character where it might look dry on the page is incredible.
Yeah.
I might have to pick this up. Like nobody throw rocks at me, but I have not jumped on the Witcher thing at all.
It's so good.
If it makes you feel any better, Becca, I have all the books because I bought them for my husband. I have not read one. I tried listening to one of the audiobooks and I was not in like a headspace to actually listen to anything. So I got
that
like,
does make me feel better.
2 hours in and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on and why people are loving this because I'm super confused.
Yeah,
so
you
I think
do.
It's going to be a series I have to read. Because if I listen to it, I'm too much of like a goldfish. It's like, ooh, shiny, let me look at this. So
honestly, like, I'm not gonna name names, but I don't wanna be controversial. But one of the bigger name actors that's in the TV adaptation, I'm not a fan of, so that's why I was instantly like, no.
That's fair. I think with the books, I will say, I think if you're going either the reading or audiobook route, I would say I would highly recommend starting with the two collections of short stories, because the style in which they're written is a lot more straightforward. And then when you get into the novels, Andrzej Sapkowski plays a lot. He's the author. He plays a lot with timelines and how he structures certain scenes, like the prose itself, yes. Which if you are not familiar with the characters or the world, which you get a lot of in the short stories, then it's really hard to follow sometimes.
So I really appreciate that heads up, because yeah. I probably would have gotten confused and been like, screw it, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I would definitely absolutely start with the short stories if you're looking to get into those books.
It was a problem people had with the show also, because the show is nonlinear very much, and they don't explain that to you at any necessary point in time. And so if you're not like prepared for that, or not, you know, taking in a lot of the clues about like when things are taking place in the story, it becomes a really jumbled mess within a couple of episodes.
I would just say, like, it is really fun, though, like, once you get into the novels and he's playing around with the style of the certain scenes, it's really fun to listen to. There's one of my favorite scenes that I listened to in those books was from the first novel. So after the two short stories, yes. The first book's called Blood of Elves. And there's a scene in that book where it's Geralt and Ciri, who is the girl, if you've seen the show, the little girl, he basically kind of adopts her, but they're doing training at this castle, and the whole scene is just their dialogue back and forth while she is like up on this like high training ground, like jumping back and forth trying not to get hit by this pendulum. And so you don't really know what's happening other than what they're saying to each other. But then the way that the narrator does it in the audiobook, it's so fun. And you can like just picture it in your head what's going on. So it is really, the books are really fun once you get into them and you kind of.
Are there audiobooks of the shorter?
Yeah, movies? Yeah. So the yes. audiobooks, so the short story collections, the first one's called The Last Wish. And the second one's called Sword of Destiny. And there are audiobooks for both of those.
Sweet. I'm definitely going to pick it up. I'm going to hop on super late to the trend.
Yes. It's so good. They're I fun. Love the I first like the first collection of short stories is really fun. It's kind of all, you can tell that Andrzej Sapkowski took a lot of inspiration from fairy tales, but he was like, we're going to take this fairy tale and we're going to make it super dark and we're going to put monsters and we're going to put totally an emotionally different. Constipated yeah. monster hunter in there. And
well, I'm definitely a horror fan, so I am interested.
So yeah, it's fun.
It's fun.
And then also my last recommendation before I got derailed by the Witcher conversation is basically any Star Wars book that is narrated by Mark Thompson.
Yes,
A God Among yes. Men, but specifically the original Thrawn trilogy. Those audiobooks are incredible. And I have listened to them multiple times, and I will continue to listen to them because they're so good.
I was wondering when you would talk about Thrawn again.
I'm always ready to talk about Thrawn.
I agree very much with the Thrawn trilogy and just like Mark Thompson in general. Like, I will listen to any of the audiobooks that he narrates. I listen to almost all of the Star Wars audiobooks anyway, but he's definitely my favorite narrator that they've got. As far as folks that they bring in to do their audiobooks. Actually, I also really like the, still Star Wars, but a different narrator. I really like the, E.K. Johnson Star Wars books, because they're read by the actors that play those characters. So, like, the Ahsoka Tano book, the Ashley Eckstein does the narration, because she's the voice of Ahsoka Tano. And then for Queen's Shadow, and I think for Queen's Peril, they're both narrated by the woman who is the voice of Padme Amidala in the Clone Wars show.
Ooh.
Whose name I am forgetting.
Oh, I'm forgetting her name too.
Catherine
Tabor, right?
Yes, Catherine Tabor. Exactly. She's the one who's reading those, and it's just, it's awesome to, like, have those familiar voices be the ones who are, like, presenting the material that's about their character. It's great. I'm also currently listening to, I've been talking about it the last couple weeks, I'm currently listening to The Howling Dark by Chris Rocchio, and it's read by a guy, Samuel Rukin, and he has this very great, deep voice with just, like, this gravitas that he brings to this character that I cannot get over. It is amazing. I don't have any particular, like, there's a bunch of audiobooks I've read. I've listened to the Harry Potter ones, listened to a lot of the Star Wars ones, I've listened to the Witcher ones now. But, goodness. It's hard to, like, recommend a very, particular editions of things, right? I think the only other one that I would shout out as being, like, oh, I really love this audiobook in particular, I listened to, one of the first audiobooks I ever downloaded was Frank Herbert's Dune, and it was read by Ewan Morton, and it was incredible, and I was so, like, I enjoyed that book so much, I read it twice, like, back to back. And I don't think I've done that for any other audiobook. But I really, really enjoyed that one a lot.
I have a few that I really, really have enjoyed. I think three of them are by J. Kristoff. One of them is the Nevernight series, and I'm probably going to butcher her name. It's narrated by Therese Plummer. And I really like how she brings Mia to life. Because Mia is this, like, 16-year-old, like, girl who's training to be an assassin. So you kind of have to have, like, the right voice for that. And I really like how she does that. And then his two series that he wrote with Amy Kaufman, the Illuminae series and the Aurora Cycle, because they're basically done with a full cast. And so it's like a show going on in your head, which I really dig. Plus, I just really do feel like they got the right type of voice for each one of their characters. Like, in Gemina, there's, like, this, I think his name's Nick.
Hey!
He's in, like, a gang. Yeah, hey! And he just sounds, like, just, like, this sarcastic. When I read the book in my head, he just sounded like this, like, sarcastic, kind of like, I'm going to win you over with a smile and a dimple. And they got a guy who sounds exactly like that, which I really, really did like. And then the last one is Next Level Basic by Stassi Schroediger, and it's narrated by her. And one of my guilty pleasures is I love reality TV where they're just yelling at each other. And that's where she's from. She's from Vanderpump Rules. And
oh my god.
And I love Stassi because she has really become, you love what you love and you don't let anyone make you feel crummy for doing that. So if you, and she's like, it doesn't matter how silly or uncool or unimportant it seems to others. If it brings you joy, you rock that. And in her book, she,
so much.
She's amazing. And I mean, like, when I first started watching the show, I hated her because I thought she was just this, like, stuck up, I'm so perfect to look at me person. And she's really grown to be like, you know what? It doesn't matter if you want to have brunch every day. If you like brunch, you go do brunch. If you want to name your dog after celebrities, name your dog after celebrities. If you want to list ranch in how good it is and judge places by the ranch, you do that. And so hearing her talk about that was way better than just reading her book to me, because you actually get to hear that she really does care about what she likes, and she could give a flying F about if someone doesn't agree that that should be important to her.
Man, that's something we didn't touch on at all that I wish we had now is, when people have autobiographies and then they also do the audiobooks of them. Like, I think that love that.
I'm such a fan of authors that read their own work, especially if it's, like, personal, like, if they're memoirs or whatever. Like, I will devour all of it because there's something about, like, hearing the person who wrote the work read it. That is the most authentic version of that experience you can have, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, like, if you think of Neil Gaiman, like, for instance, like, he knows exactly how he wants things to sound. And it's even more so with people that are reading their own autobiographies. Like, it's their life. They literally know how to say it the exact right way because it happened to them.
Yes. Absolutely. I find that stuff fascinating. I love it so much. Does anyone else have any other audiobooks they want to shout out?
Well, I definitely don't have as many as Ms. Kylie did, but I do have three.
I don't think any of us do.
No. One of the... I find myself listening to a lot of audiobooks that have multiple narrators because a lot of the books I tend to like have multiple points of view or multiple readers. So one of them is The Book of M by Peng Shepard, narrated by James, probably butchering the last name, James Foye, and Emily Wu Zeller. There's two main characters. Yeah, I believe.
She's good.
Yeah, no. And it goes back and forth between a male and female perspective, even changing the perspectives of, like, first person to third person. And I think both of the narrators do a wonderful job adapting to either male or female, as well as to the actual situation and the way it should be read. Because there are some high moments, there's some low moments, there are some very somber areas in the book. I think they just knocked it out of the park. One of the other ones is Blake Crouch. Again, multiple narrators. Blake Crouch, Recursion, narrated by Abby Craden and John Lindstrom. We're also going back not only between two different perspectives, but also many different timelines and realities. And
that's fascinating.
Having these two read these outrageous, like, jumpings of back and forth and different characters, and not only keeping the story interesting the whole time. I remember listening to this when going to the gym was still a thing, because, you know, lockdown. And being on the treadmill, and there's some moments where they're just reading the book, and not only the material, but also the way they were actually talking, reading it. I was like, wow. And then I've almost, like, slipped and fell off the treadmill a couple times because I was just so into the book.
Amazing.
And then the last one, which I actually mentioned on a previous podcast, N.K. Jemisin's The City We Became, narrated by Robin Miles. Totally crazy, wonderful way that she has taken the material and made it like slam poetry. Now, I haven't actually looked at the actual text to see if it's written to be read by slam poetry, especially in certain sections. But the way she just actually takes them and runs with them and uses her annotations is just crazy. And I can't imagine anyone else doing this aside from her after listening to her. So highly recommend that one.
Cool. I want to listen to that one. Nick, did you ever read Dark Matter from Blake Crouch?
I did not, actually, which is odd. But
I listened to that audiobook, which is also John Lindstrom.
Oh, yeah?
And I loved it. It was really good. It's a first-person, present tense, jumping between, like, parallel universes.
Oh, geez.
He's trying to, like, get back home to his original universe. And he keeps coming into, like, alternate realities of, like, where he and his life and the world around him is vastly different. And it culminates in such a fascinating way. I can't think of another sci-fi book that I've read that has such a, like, an interesting twist at the end. I enjoyed that one tremendously.
On the...
But that was an audiobook I listened to. It was great.
Well, definitely on the quote-unquote to-read pile.
Yeah. Speaking of...
I have audio everyone... recommendations.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You jerk.
I didn't mean to skip you, Becca.
Wow, it's just the co-host.
I want to know your audiobook recommendations.
So, like I said earlier, Tom Hiddleston partially helped narrate Bram Stoker's Dracula, and it's fantastic. He also did The Red Necklace by Sally Gardner, and I just, it's a good book. I like it. Anne Hathaway narrated all of the Princess Diaries series.
Oh, that's fun.
Which is extremely wholesome, and also, so it's, like, super fun to read, since, like, I don't know about any of you, but, like, I grew up with that movie, like, meaning a lot to me, and that's, like, when I absolutely fell in love with Anne Hathaway. They're very sweet. She does a fantastic job. And then, also, I mentioned Adam Driver. He's only done one narration, but it kind of ties into the last subject we talked about myths. It's called The Theater of War by Brian Doerres, and it's what ancient Greek tragedies can teach us today. And
interesting.
It's a very interesting read. That sounds right up my alley. Yeah, I hope you pick it up. I kind of said it with you in mind, exactly.
Oh, wow, thanks. Wow, I feel so seen. I'm going to look it up right now on my Libro FM app.
Yes.
There you go.
What's it called again?
It's called The Theater of War.
Okay.
It has like a helmet on the cover.
I'm going to look it up.
Sweet.
Do it.
I want to know if you find it.
I don't think it's on Libro.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It's okay. Libro has lots of things, but they don't have all the things.
Dang,
it happens.
I'm not going to disclose where I listen to it.
That's valid.
Good.
Okay, Gary, you can outro now. I promise not to interrupt.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to ask what was on everyone's to be read piles, because Nick provided such a nice segue earlier. I apologize.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to ruin the segue.
Well, it's fine. Now I have to leave all of this banter in.
Oh no! Now it's happening. The illusion that we get along perfectly.
This is what happens when we don't have Kylie, Matt, or Jenny on an episode with us.
Oh no!
Shenanigans.
Now we're gonna get in trouble.
No, it's fine.
But Kylie's on this episode.
He meant Kelly.
Oh man!
I'm telling.
Kylie, don't get us in trouble. What's everyone reading right now?
I'm finally getting around to reading a book that came out in December, late December, or maybe early December. Jeff Vandermeer's Dead Astronauts. Very pretty cover, and Jeff Vandermeer always does some quote-unquote very interesting reads, so I'm excited to start that.
That's awesome.
I am finishing up Last Girls by Dimitra Brodsky, which I'm going to tell everybody they need to buy, especially because she's doing a pre-order through Mysterious Galaxy, where you get a signed book and an art print.
When does that come out?
That comes out May 5th.
This might be out after that.
Oh, well, then they should still buy it.
They should still buy it.
And then after that is The Court of Miracles by Kester Grant, which is about the Court of Miracles in France. And it's about a young thief who is going head-to-head with the Paris's criminal mind, like the underground, like the head of him. And it's in the wake of a failed French Revolution. So the revolution did not happen in this book. And it is so pretty.
Interesting.
So pretty.
Kylie, what about you? What are you reading?
It hasn't changed since the last time we recorded. I'm still rereading Goblin Emperor, which is just like so good. I love that book so much. It is such a comfort read for me. I just adore it. I'm taking that one super slowly because I'm reading it along with the Tor.com. They're doing a reread of it. So I'm rereading that. I am rereading Deathless by Catherine Valente. And I am probably going to pick, and I just got Ruthless Gods in the mail, which is by a YA by Emily Duncan. Yeah. So I'm going to be rereading Wicked Saints, which is the first one, so that I can read the second one.
Becca, what about you?
So I also brought it up because since Nick had mentioned it episodes ago, I did start poking around at the Less Than Epic Adventures of TJ and Amal again.
Yay!
It's by E.K. Weaver. You can still read it online, but I do recommend picking up the book because, I mean, the print is just gorgeous. And I'm also, I fade in and out of this one. It's a collection of short stories called Color Outside the Lines. With authors like Lydia King, Adam Silvera, and Laurie M. Lee. It's just a collection of short stories. They're all about love and romance, but it's about, like, people of color and LGBTQIA plus people. And so it's right up my alley. I love reading it. And I love that I can just, like, kind of go in and out.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. What are you reading, Gary?
I'm still listening to, as I mentioned earlier, I'm still listening to Howling Dark by Chris Rocchio, and I'm realizing it's going to sound like I'm listening to this book forever.
Yeah, people are going to think that you're really slow.
It's a 28-hour audiobook.
Oh my god.
I only have 19 hours and 32 minutes left, so I'm making progress.
You can do it. We believe in you. We want a weekly report.
It's going to take me a little while to get through that one. And then, I also just started reading All Our Wrong Todays, which I picked up at the store a long time ago because it's a time travel book and I've been meaning to read it forever. It's by Alon Mastai, I think is how you say their name. And I literally have only read the first couple of pages, so I don't know where it's going to go yet, but I'm excited. Guys, I love time travel stuff. I don't know if you know this, but I love time travel stuff.
You? I don't think so.
Nope. Lies.
Mm-mm.
I have several time travel recommendations. If anyone wants to go and look at my staff picks on the website, you can do that.
Well, I guess I know what one of our next episodes can be.
Oh, man. I would love to do a time travel thing. Oh, my God. Don't even joke. That could be really fun. I also think that an adaptations episode might be a fun one to do, too, coming up.
Oh, absolutely.
We literally have not decided on what our next episode is. Like, peek behind the curtain for the listeners for a second.
Oh, my.
So we'll figure that one out. Of course, come back next week. We will have an episode figured out by then.
Yes.
And you can find us, of course, at mistgalaxy.com. Like I said, we are still doing book orders online, so you can get books with us. There you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at mistgalaxybooks. And you can email the show at podcast@mistgalaxy.com. Please send us questions. We're planning on trying to do some listener questions either at the end of episodes or maybe doing like a big question episode specific, depending on how many we get. So please send us questions. I think that could be really fun.
And it can be questions about previous episodes. It can be anything book related. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. It can be anything. I want to open you can ask us anything. If you want to ask us for recommendations for books, do that. If you want to ask us like what our favorite sandwiches are, you could do that too. I don't care.
I wouldn't say anything. Please ask mostly appropriate things. Or they'll have to wait till the After Dark episode.
Anything.
That's true. That's true. We should figure out like a subject filter for that actually.
Later,
just put,
later.
Like podcast questions in the subject. That's all I need. It'll sort them out. Goodness, is that all the plugs? I think that's all the plugs.
And also we just want to say thank you to our wonderful friend Austin Farmer for the use of our theme music from the album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra. You can find it on Spotify and YouTube. I do want to say please listen to it on Spotify if you can. He deserves the money and it's fantastic.
It's so fun. We're using a piece from the track Kill the Farm Boy, but he's also got one. I mean, the whole album is great, but he's also got one, The Dreadful Tale of Prosper Redding, that I super love, that has like a kind of synthy feel to it. It's rad. Please, guys, go check out his music.
Thank you again to Nick, Victoria, and Kylie for being here with us today.
Of course.
No problem.
Of course, yeah.
And we'll see you guys next time in a galaxy not so far away.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.